Welcome everybody to the show, and we're back at it again. My name is Sean Flag 2.0, and with me, if you guys haven't seen these folks, I love these people. Right above me, we got Potions Master. Over here, catty corner to me, we got Elf Daddy. What's up, Elf? And of course, right here to the side, I have Stealth. Stealth Dad, welcome, welcome, welcome. I miss your guys' faces. Today's topic, we're going to be talking about the history of Halloween. This to you is brought to you by Potions Master. And I do plan on playing some music throughout. We each picked something to, you know, as far as like Halloween music. So before we get started, I'm going to go with the first one. And this, if you don't know this one, let's see if it needs... you guys won't be able to hear it, though. So
now everyone's waiting for the next surprise.
Okay, whoops. I guess I should have started it from the beginning. It's This Is Halloween from Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas. And I'll give it about 30 seconds, and then we'll go from there.
It's perfect.
Track number one.
Got to figure out how I could play it so you guys can hear. All right, let's get started. Before we get started, does anybody have anything they want to say? Welcome
back. I'm Potion Master and I brewed tea. That's my alchemy of the day.
What do you
want? Am I very
over there?
I got biscuits and gravy.
Oh.
Casey's.
I could see that Elf won't be able to eat or drink anything. It's kind of hard to eat and drink through the mask, though, but. Okay.
Also,
go ahead.
Also, it snowed last night or yesterday while we were trick or treating. So I'll be showing pictures of snow in October.
Enjoy the Western tradition.
What or is... the Northeast, if you're from that region too.
Right. You kind
of. I'm sure Galen has, or Crimson Shield Caller, I should say, has some stories of trick or treating.
Oh, I have stories. I grew up in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
There was a Halloween three times in a row where nobody could tell what anybody's costume was because we had to put winter coats on and just bundle up, and it was just like, we're all going as the kid from Brain Fart. What's that holiday movie where gets the radio flyer?
I can't put my arms down.
Oh, Christmas Story.
Yeah, I can't put my arms down.
Just shoot your eye out, kid.
Right.
Yeah,
here we are talking about Halloween. We're supposed to be talking about Halloween, and we're talking about A Christmas Story and snow.
Then it goes into Christmas.
Right. Okay. So, Potions, why did you want to bring this to us? I know, you know, our big reveal was supposed to be toward the end of the month, but why did you end up picking this topic?
Because it's the holiday season. And Halloween is fascinating. Like, there's a lot of really weird traditions we've got around it. Like, why do we dress up at all? Why do we have candy? Why do we carve pumpkins?
You should never carve
I mean, never. But I do, because I question authority, Sean.
That's true. You do.
Always question authority.
Yeah, why we tell our kids don't take candy from strangers, but yet on Halloween.
It's perfectly fine. Yeah. So, like, and it's kind of like the Easter Bunny. Like, nobody questions an Easter Bunny that hops around giving jelly beans and eggs and things like that. And it's really interesting to see how that just became an unquestioned tradition around the world.
In the spirit of the rebirth of somebody from far away that we're not going to talk about right now.
Sure. So it's the same type of principle. Like, why do we do all these things that if you look at it on its own, it just doesn't make sense. So where did it come from? Why do we do these things that we do? What is human? Why are we the way that we are?
I feel like 9 times out of 10, the answer is Christianity.
This one, however,
right,
is not.
Like I said, we're not getting into that aspect. Otherwise...
It'll be a different show.
Exactly.
It'll be a different show. Which, hey, you know, we might end up branching off into that. You don't know. Okay. So, all right. So we got Halloween. We're going to be talking about the history of Halloween. Potions, thank you for bringing this to us. Did we want to start off with some crazy facts that we read and or we want to share? Who wants to start?
Jack-o'-lanterns and why we carve them.
Okay.
And you know they originally were turnips.
Oh, you stole my fact.
He's a fact stealer. Originally turnips. Yeah, so I heard that originally they were turnips in Europe, and I guess when it came to the Americas.
In Ireland.
Oh, God, and they were creepy as fuck. Did you see any pictures of, like, carved turnips? Oh, my God.
No.
Creepy as hell.
You don't need to look them up. You can just think about it, because
yeah,
the turnip, we got pumpkins that can be, like, yay big, that where you carve them, it makes sense. Turnips, unless you grow a fucking huge one, is yay. So you're making a turnip baby.
They look like little ghoul heads and shit like that. It's just like, my God.
Little drunken heads.
Right? So.
Yeah.
Okay, so why do we, so we got turnips, then we came to the Americas and made pumpkins, and they were actually put in, they put candles in them, in the turnips, to ward off evil spirits. And then
yep.
That comes to us putting candles inside pumpkins. I don't know if that does the same effect, but I mean, maybe turnips are more scary. So,
I mean, all you have to do is look at the Wikipedia page, which is what I'm doing right now, hence the lovely backlight of, you know,
I'm looking history. At history.com.
Well, I'm looking at Wikipedia, and they have pictures of carved turnips and a plaster cast of a traditional Irish jack-o'-lantern, and
not the business.
I mean, for scaring away evil spirits from your house, they would work. Which is one of the origins of it, is just protection. Mostly it all just comes back to how more modern religions have twisted pagan and ancient religions' traditions. So the traditions live on.
Here is a plaster of an Irish turnip.
Let's see.
There you go.
Oh, hell nah.
Oh, that's 100%
creepy.
Yeah. A traditional Irish turnip, jack-o'-lantern from the early 20th century, photographed at the Museum of Country Life in Ireland.
Ah, you're on Wikipedia now, too.
Hey, you know what that looks like? It looks like the Iron Man, the first Iron Man mask.
Right. It's just something very primitive and just visceral, reacting to.
And that looks like a scarecrow, like Scarecrow from Batman, how he puts the bag over his head.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're going into the Americas. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Who wants to talk about the original?
How jack-o'-lanterns originated. There's a guy named Jack, surprisingly.
Okay.
Who summoned the devil. What's up?
Last name Lantern?
Maybe. All we know is his first name.
Okay. Go ahead. Go with your story.
But Jack, who summoned the devil to have a drink with him. And then Jack, with his nickname being Stingy Jack, didn't want to pay for the drink, so he convinced the devil to pay for him. Well, to turn himself into a coin and pay for him. And then Jack decided to keep the money and put it in his pocket next to an original cross, which prevented the devil from turning back into... Did I just freeze?
Yeah, you did.
Unstable internet connection.
No, we can still hear you. Okay, he'll be back. And there he is.
Da 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 da.
He's still unstable, though.
Right. Really? Really? Oh, that's a cheap shot right there.
And water more at 11.
Right. Okay, does anybody else want to start a story or some fun fact that they heard? Oh, let's talk about the Potions, why don't you lead with the history behind it, behind just the origin of Halloween in general?
Well, in general, Samhain is a pagan All Souls feast, essentially, where it's like the veil between the worlds is thinnest right around now. So if ever there was a time for souls to cross over and the plans to mix, it would be now. And lots of different... Cat, get off my desk. Sorry, that's not part of the Halloween tradition. This is just my cat thinking he's being sneaky in the background, and he's really not.
Right.
Oh, the one right behind you?
Why are you the way that you are? And he just really happens to like my chair arm.
Oh.
Zombie cat.
Is that a black cat or a gray cat?
Gray cat.
Oh.
But he's not. He's got a tumor on his cheek. Oh. It's inoperable.
Oh, no.
So he wears his Halloween costume like all year.
Oh.
I mean, he's fine.
Right.
He just has this really ugly gross on his face.
We love him regardless, right?
Absolutely.
Especially when they put their butt in your face, you're like, oh.
It's like, seriously, cat, why? Anyways.
Okay, so let's get back to the story.
Back to the story. Mm-hmm, I lost my place. Anyways. Now he's sitting in my lap and purring. Like, that makes everything better.
Because it does.
It does.
It does make everything better.
Mm-hmm. So, anyways, so the veil between the worlds was the thinnest as it was going to be. So if ever souls were going to cross over back onto this plane of existence, that's when it was going to be. And not all were nice. So you didn't really want those chasing you and doing things like that. So they would light big bonfires, and they would do things to prevent the less kind spirits trying to, you know, harm the living and whatnot. So that's just kind of become a giant festival, because history of people is they just work is boring and hard and thankless. So if you have an excuse to party, you're going to do it. And if you can appease the gods and appease spirits and otherworldly creatures while doing it, you do that. So a lot of it was, you know, you wear masks and costumes and hide your face. So if you did piss off a ghost or a spirit or something, they wouldn't recognize you and they wouldn't follow you with bad luck the rest of the year.
Oh.
And giving treats and things to appease them. So if you gave them something up front, they wouldn't destroy your crops, you know, and they wouldn't trash the harvest and whatnot. So, and another interesting fact is it wasn't always October 31st. All Souls Day is November 1st, and that's usually when most of it was. I don't exactly remember why it moved a day ahead, though. So, but it's probably something to do with...
So I got a little fact on that one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So,
late on.
So according to the History Channel's website, they celebrated All Saints Day basically November 1st. And then, so the night before All Saints Day was called All Hallows Eve.
Ah, because it is the eve before.
Yes. And
didn't
then
also, didn't also correspond with the harvest or the harvesting moon or something like that?
Yeah, it was a celebration originally to transition from into winter when it went from light to day. And again, just piggybacking off what you said, that it was the time that they thought that, you know, the veil between the living and the dead. And so that's exactly what I read. I thought was interesting. Just for, I guess, when I was reading what I was reading, the the connection. So like we talk about like paganism or whatever, but the area, it was Celtic culture is what I read originally, and it was pronounced, it looks like it's spelled Samhain, but it's pronounced
Samhain.
Yeah, Samhain.
Samhain. Mm-hmm.
And it was basically Celtic territory, which was mainly in the area of Ireland. So I was like, oh, okay. And that, like, later on when I kind of talk about, like, what I read, I was like, that is some very interesting stuff. But then, let's see here. Yeah, so just to kind of add to that, in the 8th century, Pope Gregory the Third, I guess by this time, the Romans had conquered a lot of Celtic culture or the Celtic territory, and they wanted to incorporate, and I didn't find this out till later, but they, I guess since the Romans had conquered a lot of that, a lot of the traditions got mixed, and then they came up with All Saints Day, and then the day before All Saints Day was All Hallows Eve, and then eventually it evolved into Halloween, and that's how we get our Halloween. And then I guess there were 2 days that, and I thought this was an interesting fact, and I didn't realize this. Did you guys ever bob for apples?
No.
Yes.
Okay. So the other interesting fact that I had read was there were the two holidays that got combined from the Roman Empire with the Celtic. It's Pomona, I guess. It's like yeah, Feralia was one of them, and that's the commemoration of passing of the dead, and then Pomona, and I guess to celebrate Pomona, which is the goddess of fruit trees, and the symbol is the apple, and then they combined all those. And then it became, that's how the explains the bobbing for apples origin on Halloween.
Neat.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. And you think about bobbing for apples now, like that's gross.
Right.
Because you put your head and then you're like trying to, and then the next person puts their head in there and tries to bob for apples. And you're like, yeah, you're like, ew, that's.
I never liked it because the water was always cold and went up my nose. Ugh.
Yeah.
But isn't it fascinating that something so ancient is still somehow present today? Mm-hmm. It's so cool.
Right.
That's one of my favorite things. They'd set up these things like kind of like a haunted house, but not quite, where you stick your hand in the bowl and it feels like eyeballs.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Like the pasta that feels like guts, and I'm like, ooh, that's fun.
The spaghetti that's guts with the meatballs that are eyeballs or something like that, yeah. Jello, I think, was brains.
The ones that we went to were usually peeled grapes.
Yeah. Right. I'm not with that either. Let's see here. Okay, did anybody have, Elf, did you want to piggyback on that story or anything like that? Anything you found interesting with that part of it?
I actually read the same thing, and the thing that stood out to me was that there's people currently trying to revive the old traditions now.
Okay.
That tracks. Yep. Everything old is new again, and people do tend to try to revert back, because I know a lot of people also are getting really cranky, at least in the Americas, about how it's just commercialized anymore. Halloween now starts in August in the stores out here, and that's just like, can we at least wait until like the end of September?
Right.
Yeah, I didn't see anything for Halloween until about mid-September, I think it was, or even beginning of October is when it started.
I will say this, we decorate the house in September. And the reason, the main reason why is because we love, like, you know, that's fun around here for us, and especially with the kids. And we'll talk about family traditions here in a little bit. But
August is too early. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks before October, fine, because you're starting, you're getting everything out, you know, it takes time.
Right. Okay, let's move on to my next fact. Did you have anything to add after Samhain?
Samhain. There is another old European tradition that's more Norse called the Wild Hunt, where Odin and Thor would basically just go on this huge, like on horseback, charging across the land, and anybody who got in their path was dead. So there it have been a couple of theories that maybe Halloween costumes were a way of, similar to wearing costumes so the spirits and ghouls and creepy things that were crossing the veil wouldn't recognize you, and you could pass among them unscathed. Similar to that idea, it's thought that some of the Halloween costumes and get-ups in the olden times were to prevent Odin and Thor and all of them in the Wild Hunt from recognizing you as human, so your life would be spared. Oh. I haven't seen too terribly much on that, but it's a really interesting theory.
Okay, well, maybe you need to do a follow-up on that, and just because it's... So what I read was like Celtic, right? And then then you bring in Norse mythology and just basically how they kind of mesh based upon belief and stuff like that.
Okay. Right. And the Wild Hunt wasn't necessarily this time of year. I think the more people that got exposed to it and the more the world became smaller, traditions in their culture of origination, they started shifting to match more with other holiday traditions with other cultures as they mixed and matched too. So humans, man.
Right. That's interesting. I mean, you know, it's interesting. It's, you know, as we get into more of an age where we could look stuff up and we could look back and be like, oh, okay, I could see how that was based upon where you lived, right? Based upon your demographic. Okay, so moving into Halloween into the Americas. So again, this is still from the history, from the History Channel's website, which again I thought was pretty interesting. Let's see here. By the 19th century, festivals were popular, but Halloween festivals were not due to the heavy Protestant belief system. So they said that basically more toward the southern colonies and the northern colonies, that Halloween was a thing. And then and this is where I kind of had to go back. I wanted to put in the whole Celtic culture, because during the second half of the 19th century, where there was a flood of Irish immigrants into the Americas, and they were fleeing, I guess, the Irish potato famine, and they were coming to the Americas. And since that original was Samhain, they brought a lot of those traditions back with them from Ireland to the Americas, which at that point helped popularize the Halloween tradition in America. And I was like, that was a cool fact. Like, you know, it goes all the way back to being like, you know, being a Celt, and, you know, we're talking about like 400 or, you know, before 43 AD, and how it's still stuck in their culture, in their traditions. And here we are in the 19th century that they, you know, and they bring it back. Like, I was like, that's cool. You know, I can't say the word I want, but so I thought that was cool.
I mean, someone else can say it for you.
No, they can't.
No,
they can't.
Fun fact, that's how some of my family actually wound up in America. I am half Irish.
You get one of those shirts that says "Kiss me because I'm Irish." Yeah, one of those.
I don't have a shirt, but me and my sister both have a bumper sticker that says "Caution: Irish temper and Italian attitude. Engage at will."
Wow. Okay.
So.
So the next thing I got is some history on trick or treating, which isn't too like great, but anyways. Do you guys know anything the history about trick-or-treating here in Americas?
The very basics of it, which was, you know, you would leave out treats for the ghosts and ghouls and goblins to, you know, appease them and whatnot. And I don't know how it made the jump of children going around, although there is a little segue where a lot of the times with big public festivals like this and like the Roman Empire and even in England and whatnot, it is traditional for the poorer population and the ones in poverty to beg for basically food, essentially. And it was a flex for the wealthier population to provide for them. So if you were hard up on the street, at least if there was the street festival going on, you could have at least a decent day's meal, you know, and that might keep you going for a little bit. And then asking for, you know, the food or the cakes or whatever, that probably segued into dressing up and then asking for it.
Did you just guess that? Did you guess that?
I mean, I know I've read about it in the past. My brain is still very jumbly. I'm almost done with my caffeine for the day.
Okay.
But, you know. But no, I'm a history nerd. It was one of my favorite subjects in school. And I'm the type of person that I will go into the library to start looking up, like, thermodynamics of bumblebee flight and wind up reading about ancient Greece. So,
yeah, that's not ADHD.
And so, you're questioning why you have ADHD or how you have ADHD?
I don't question.
Oh,
okay. So, I don't question. I sit there going, oh, yeah, that's probably a thing I should probably like
just look into.
You know,
right.
And next thing you know, she's learning how to make a nuclear bomb.
Right. So that's basically it. They said borrowing from the History Channel, borrowing from European traditions, Americans began to dress up in costumes and go house to house asking for food and money, which, again, like what you said, was a flex, right, for the wealthy to, I mean, like, that's like, did you guess that? I mean, but yes, no. I mean, that's what it said there, and that became trick-or-treating. And then kind of going into what you said about, like, well, how did it become more kid friendly? Well, I had read in the same article, right, is in the 1800s, parents, and this is in the Americas, parents were encouraged through the community leaders and through the newspaper to remove anything frightening or grotesque out of the Halloween celebration, moving the tradition to be more focused on family and community celebrations.
And then so, from what I'm reading on the history one about the Halloween trick-or-treating origins, so after the Irish and Scottish communities came back, you know, came over after the potato famine, they wanted to revive the old world traditions of souling and guising in the United States. But, like, during the 1920s and preceding and through the Great Depression, because of, you know, the young people, we started doing mischief and mischief nights, aka, you know, also known as October 30th, the day before Halloween.
Mischief so, night.
Yeah, so it got worse during the Great Depression, but then after the 1930s, so through the 1930s is when they organized and got the community-based trick-or-treating, like how we do go house to house like that. And then after World War II, after when the sugar rationing stopped, and the suburbs from, you know, the baby boomers creating, that's when the trick-or-treating really took off that way. And so no longer constrained by sugar rationing, candy companies capitalized on the lucrative ritual, launching national advertising campaigns specifically aimed at Halloween. Currently, this was updated this year. America spent about $3.1 billion on candy just for Halloween.
There is something that should be noted. Ooh, Elf.
You're muted.
No, I was just thinking that's a lot of Snickers.
Right? I love Snickers. I also love Milky Ways. Oh man. I haven't gotten my Halloween candy this year yet on purpose, so you know I wouldn't eat all of it. Anyways, there is something interesting to note about how trick-or-treats moved from apples and fruits and like pennies and things like that to specifically candy, and that was based on mass production of chocolate. Mars Company, you know, like M&M's and all that stuff. Once they figured out how to mass produce chocolate and make it cheaper and more accessible, the drive then became to push it towards that, especially like with the individual little wrapped ones.
Those things are great.
So,
yeah, that's another topic we should talk about. Candy. Yes, the origins of candy. No, America's origins of candy is actually interesting. Cool. It is very interesting. Well, I'm talking about like Hershey's making it, Mars making it. Like, I'm talking about those companies Nestle. Being made. Those are interesting facts.
You guys want to hear something interesting?
Of course.
Yeah.
So, this is going to sound like a tangent, but I play Final Fantasy 14 and I'm on a European server. So I learned like a lot of stuff from people in England. I've learned they do not like our chocolate, especially not our Hershey's bars, because it's got something called butyric acid in it that tastes like vomit.
Yeah,
no,
I can see that.
Do you know why Hershey's chocolate is actually tastes different from all other chocolate? It's not because of that. The cows in the Hershey area, they actually have a sour tasting to it. It's like it's almost spoiled milk, but it's not spoiled. That's what makes that distinct flavor in Hershey.
Oh, also, on the note of butyric acid in the chocolate, it's also in the Parmesan cheese.
That makes sense. It's distinctive. But yeah, there's also a lot of, in the cheaper chocolates here, there's a lot of paraffin wax, which is edible and it's non-toxic. But it if you've ever had like those cheap chocolate coins or like those cheap little egg-shaped chocolate adjacent flavored things. Hey, I refuse to call it chocolate because it coats your mouth and your tongue and it feels weird. It's like,
like how white chocolate isn't actually chocolate.
Isn't it cocoa butter? That makes it. Yeah, it's so sweet. I used to like white chocolate when I was younger, but I can't do it anymore. It's too sweet. Even milk chocolate is too sweet for me now. Dark chocolate's where it's at.
Yeah, I like dark chocolate more now that I'm older.
Yeah, dark chocolate is definitely where it's at. All right, any more facts on that? Because I got a couple more, and then we'll start sharing our traditions that we do at home.
Just that I have one about pumpkins.
Okay.
Pumpkins. All the way back to the beginning. So, jack-o'-lanterns. There's competitions for who has the most jack-o'-lanterns in a night, and Keene, New Hampshire has one at 8 years out of all of them. And I used to go to college in New Hampshire, so we got to see it 1 year. It was awesome. There were like 30,000 pumpkins all lit up on just everywhere in Keene, New Hampshire.
Wow.
And like how Pumpkin Chunkin' started because they wanted to do something with leftover pumpkins.
Maybe. Oh, we've been to Pumpkin Chunkin's too. Like, because I was also part of Medieval Society. Shocking, I know. And somebody in the local area in New Hampshire had built a trebuchet that worked. So a trebuchet is different from a catapult in the fact that there's a counterweight on a trebuchet to like fling it further.
Trebuchets works on principle of centrifugal force, and catapults work on levers.
Right. Okay. Anyways, so the whole point of going to pumpkin chunking was that there was a big pile of pumpkins, and then if you wanted to, you could actually be on the line to heave back on the line to drop back, and then when you let it go, off the pumpkin chicken went, and you'd see how far you could get it to go.
That sounds
so. We don't have something like that on the West Coast. So, for those,
well, obviously you need to work on your siege machine game, Sean.
Yeah. Well, for those who don't know me much, but I was in the Air Force, and I was stationed over in Dover, Delaware. Well, pumpkin chunking, where the actual competition you can actually go see, is on a farm in around Wilmington, Delaware. So right up the street, essentially.
So that was fun. That sounds fun.
Yeah. So that's it for my pumpkin trivia.
So I wanted to go into this. I got another article for the New York Public Library, which I thought was pretty interesting. So kind of going back to the beginning like we did before. So I didn't realize, you know, when I said that Pope Gregory the Third they like integrated certain traditions, and that was the Faralia and like the Pomona. So I didn't realize this, that they weren't like traditionally melded together. Like the Pope imposed that on the people because they wanted to deter people from celebrating non-Christian holidays. So since they decided that we're gonna celebrate this, they wanted to impose like their own holiday on top of the Celtic holiday so that it would deter them from doing, you know, non-Christian holidays, which I thought was funny though, because they also said, well, regardless of how the Pope did anything, it didn't work. People still celebrated Halloween. So I was like, okay, that's because I thought like the first article was like, oh, they kind of did it because the people kind of melded it together. Then I read this other article and it was like, no, they tried to impose it. And I was like, okay.
And it failed. Yeah. So well, they just did it.
Well, talking about Catholicism and Pope. There's also one that has called Guy Fawkes Night, which is about the guy who tried to blow up the England Parliament building to remove King James I from a Protestant from power. And so part of that
Remember the 5th of November. Gunfire, treason, and plot.
Is that from Vendetta? V is for Vendetta?
Actually, it's a real poem.
V for Vendetta is based off of that.
Exactly, but that's where I know that quote. I'm like,
something. So
that's what made that rhyme popular.
Right. Yeah. On the original Guy Fawkes Day, celebrated immediately after the famous plotter's execution, communal bonfires or bone fires were lit to burn effigies and symbolic bones of the Catholic Pope. And then by the early 19th century, children bearing effigies of Fawkes were roaming the streets on the evening of November 5th asking for a penny for the guy.
That's where the penny came in, maybe?
Probably. Back in 1606.
Okay, then the last thing I got as far as like in the 1820s. Oh, let's do some trivia. Maybe you guys can get this answer. And no key typing. I don't want you guys to look it up. Okay. So 1920s. A short story. What was a short story written by Washington Irving that became the first American ghost story centered around Halloween?
I looked this up.
Oh, you cheated! You cheated!
This was before you even said anything.
It's Sleepy Hollow. Clicks.
Yeah. I'm gonna give it to Elf because Elf doesn't have a computer in front of it. So,
saw I was playing with my ears so very specifically. Was not looking it up.
No, I looked this up before he even started the question. Like, it was a click. Right. I did a click for something.
So, anyway. So the legend of Sleepy Hollow, which I thought was pretty cool, too. And I remember, like, the whole Ichabod Crane. I guess it was the Disney version of it that I watched. Like, first.
Isn't there, like, 5 or 6 versions of it? Something like that.
I like that movie. Was that Johnny Depp who played Ichabod? Yeah.
I think he was in the credits as Oprah Noodle Monster or something.
And then there was a TV show for it. It was like 2 cartoon versions of it.
Yeah, we probably need to make that an episode because I would like to watch that again. Have a reason for it.
Fun fact, because I grew up in Northeast, my cousin grew up in New York, and he would do marching band things with Sleepy Hollow, and their patches on their marching band uniform were black and orange and had the Headless Horseman with an axe on it, and that was so cool.
Right.
Ooh. Other fun fact related to the Headless Horseman?
Yeah.
Back in Celtic history, I think it was, they had something called, I believe it was a Dullahan, that was a headless creature that was holding, that would ride a horse holding its head.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It would be like the banshee and guide the spirits to the actual world, or not the guiding, but more of taking them for the rest of the spirits.
There's a Headless Horseman Easter egg in Skyrim too, there's a ghostly guy without a head on a horse that just rides back and forth on a very specific path. And if you follow him, I think you can find like a treasure at the end of his path or something. But I just, you know, I spent one afternoon just riding back and forth with him, because why not?
Right, why not? Okay, so that's all I got. And that's actually all the time that we have. So first and foremost, I want to say thank you guys. I love hanging out with you guys, talking this stuff. I hope we could get a continuous schedule like we used to have. With that, if anybody has any questions, comments, or emotional outbursts for, let's go with Stealth. Stealth, if anybody has any questions, comments, or emotional outbursts for you, where can they find you?
Everywhere you can find me is Stealth Dad with an E. Oh, it's a 3 and 7 E. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, obviously, YouTube, Twitch. I do have a Kick, but I'm not a streamer. I'm not streaming at the moment. Plan to start a backup again, but don't know when yet, or haven't done that stuff yet.
Okay, all right. Elf, let's go with you. If anybody has any questions, comments, emotional outbursts for you, where can they find you?
I am usually Elf__daddy, or, you know, on Instagram I'm Elf_daddy TTV, because some shit. Anyway, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, YouTube. I'm like everywhere.
Okay. And Potions, anybody have any questions, comments, or emotional outbursts for you? Where can they find you?
Well, I am on Facebook. You can find my gamer page at PotionsMaster66. Shockingly, the same on Instagram. I know, crazy. And shockingly, also on Twitch, PotionsMaster66. Yeah, I think that's about it. I mean, you can try to poke me on Discord, but I'm just Potions Master there. No 66.
No 66. Okay.
No 66.
Okay. And my name is Sean Flag 2.0. You can find me on all the major. You can find me on X, formerly known as Twitter, as at Sean Flack. Same thing. You find me on Twitch at Sean Flack. On Discord, I'm Sean Flack. You can find me on YouTube and also on Facebook and even on Threads. Everything's going to be Sean Flack. Just look me up. Again, if you guys got any questions, comments, emotional outbursts, are we still going to be called the Shadow Pack Squares?
Might as well.
That is a topic for discussion. What are we for now?
Well, on my screen, we're Shadow Pack Rectangles, but you know.
Wow.
That's just fair.
So if you guys, first and foremost, if you guys have any questions, comments, emotional outbursts for any of us, you can check us out on our links. I'll have links in the bio or in the description down below. Also, if you are interested, head over to shadowpackwest.com. You can join from there. You can join our Patreon. And for those of you, the benefits that you get from that is some quirky behind the scenes episodes with us. So if you guys enjoy us, you can get access to that. And of course, any, you know, support, you know, like, share, subscribe, and all the other things that you could do, depending on where you find this, or just listen to it. We'd very much appreciate it. And until the next episode, I'm going to say it. Stay sharp.
Sharp you stay.
All right. Wait for a special guy.
Town we call home, everyone hail to the pumpkin.